I pray just that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight today, Lord. Amen. How you doing? You have me again. Today I'm speaking on making one's calling and election sure, and the scripture is 2 Peter 1-11, and that can be found in the Red Bibles on page 1222. So I'm just going to read. I'm going to start from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Though through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love kindness. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So this scripture is written to people who are already Christians, have already given their lives to Jesus. And I just wanted to read out a prayer that kind of a lot of people would pray when they come to give their lives to God. And it's actually found, well, I found it in this book. It's in loads of books and tracts and on the internet and everything. But this is a book called Diary of a Dangerous Vision by Andy Hawthorne. He's the guy who set up the Worldwide Message Tribe, which is a dance band, a Christian dance band in England. And they've also gone on to do this thing called the Eden Project, where they buy houses in like really, really rough housing estates, and they move lots of Christians in, and they become salt and light, and they live in those areas, and they shop in those areas, and they work in those areas, and they become part of that community, and they're committed for the long haul. Anyway, that's just a side thing there. And so basically, this is a prayer that I would have prayed about 9 years ago, actually, next week, I think it is. I became a Christian. So it goes like this. Lord Jesus, maybe if we just close our eyes actually and just kind of, you know, just kind of try and think about that, try and think about what's being said here. And maybe for some of you, you want to actually pray it. Maybe some of you, you might want to even kind of refresh it. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I know I've done loads of bad things. I know that I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry, and I turn away from everything that I know is wrong in my life. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking the punishment for all the wrong things I've done. Please take away all the rubbish in my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. With your help, Lord Jesus, I'll live all out for you for the rest of my life. Amen. And for me, that was 9 years ago. I was in a funny place because I'd been hanging around Christian things for about 4 years. I'd been going to Christian camps. I had a good friend called Jim Canaugh, and he was there for me a lot of the time, when good days and bad days. And I came to a point when I realised actually there is something really different about Christians, but I never tell them that. You know, that only happens in the films. But so I would kind of be admiring them, but kind of trying to find like faults in their arguments and stuff. So I was trying not to become a Christian. And I was trying to stay independent of God, but it wasn't working. And I remember, like, I had a lot of stuff going on at the time, and my friend Jim said, "We're going to pray with you." And the Holy Spirit came, and I had a really, really powerful encounter with God. A really, really kind of, like, I'll be honest, I was on the ground. And it was just amazing, and I just felt this really, really passionate love of Jesus come into my life. And actually, nobody said, "Here's the prayer," to me. I actually went through that prayer afterwards. I realized I went through it because I just realized the majesty and glory of Jesus, and I actually I was just so aware of his presence, of his beauty, of his majesty, of heaven, of the angels, of everything. Suddenly just a massive revelation to me. And what can you do when you're faced with that but go, whoa, I am sorry, you know? And I just remember just saying sorry to God for all the things I'd done. And then he brought me on a little kind of journey, and he brought me back, and I just saw things from my childhood, and he said, I was there, I was watching, I saw you. And it was just like, wow, just the most intimate thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And so from that day, I've just seen the world differently, and it's just really, really changed my life. But what happened was, funny thing is, like, I kind of thought, well, now I'm perfect, you know. Sometimes you think that happens when you become a Christian. And sometimes you think, well, now I'm a Christian, I know Jesus, so everything is going to be perfect and nothing is going to go wrong. And I'm never going to fall, I'm never going to stumble, I'm never going to look at that again. And so then you kind of go, you're on this kind of high. I think they call it the convert zeal. And I think it lasts for about 2 years. And oh, you're going around, you're telling everybody you need to get sorted out with God, you need to get saved, you need to get all this kind of stuff, and you're just annoying everybody. And so what happens then is you suddenly start to realize everything isn't actually working out the way I thought it was going to be. And things start to go wrong, and you start to go wrong, and you start to make mistakes again. And so you kind of start to get back into some of your old ways and all this kind of stuff, and you're going, what's going on here? I thought I was a Christian, you know, I thought I was saved. And then, but then I realized that this is something that could come up as instant Christianity, where people feel that, you know, they've given their lives to the Lord, they're totally changed, and this is it, and, you know, you're just ready for heaven. And there's a guy called A.W. Tozer, he was a top guy, and he wrote this like in the 40s, and he was talking about how sometimes we reduce becoming a Christian down to say this prayer, and you'll be saved, and you can hang around, and then Jesus will come and get you, or you'll go and see him, whichever comes first. It says this, instant Christianity tends to make the faith act terminal, and so smothers the desire for spiritual advance. It fails to understand the true nature of the Christian life, which is not static, but dynamic and expanding. It overlooks the fact that a new Christian is a living organism, as certainly as a new baby is, and must have nourishment and exercise to assure normal growth. By trying to pack all of salvation into one experience or two, the advocates of instant Christianity flaunt the law of development, which runs through all nature. They ignore the sanctifying effects of suffering, cross-carrying, and practical obedience. They pass by the need for spiritual training, the necessity of forming right religious habits, and need to wrestle against the world, the devil, and the flesh. So what he's saying there is, like, let's not reduce it to that. Now, let's not reduce becoming a Christian to one prayer. Let's not reduce it to just one decision, one time, this moment back in 1996 when I was 20. Let's see it as like the way the wedding was yesterday. Jenny and Jay stood here, and Jack did a great job, and he's asleep now, but there you go. And Jack did a great job of marrying them, and the vows were, you know, I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. And nobody would ever suggest that that's the marriage. The marriage was yesterday. The marriage is from yesterday on. That's the relationship. It continues on. It's something that's dynamic. It's changing. They're going to have to adjust to different things. It's great. I've been married nearly 3 years. Marriage is a real eye-opener. It's great. And so we want to be Christians that grow, don't we? Yes. We want to be Christians that don't stay in the same place. And we don't want to be people that think, I've said the prayer, now I have to be perfect. Because you know what? God says to Paul when he asked him to take away the thorn, he says, my grace is sufficient. And he basically says that because Paul is weak and because God's going to work through Paul, people are going to see the weakness of Paul and go, that's God. That's God right there. Okay, but you're probably saying to me, like, how am I going to grow? Well, I think the answer is in verse 3 and 4. His divine power. Okay? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Okay? So it's actually God's power that's going to do it. It's not our self-help programs. It's not our determination. It's not our kind of I'm going to do better tomorrow. It's God. It's letting God in. It's letting go of our pride. It's letting go of our all our kind of anchor points and saying, I'm actually going to just throw myself on God here and he's going to change me. The other thing is, so it's divine power. And then in verse 4 it says, through these he's given us these very great and precious promises. And I read on the internet the other day, and I don't know how true it is because the internet, you know yourself, God makes 7,800 promises in the Bible. It's a lot of promises, isn't it? Through these he's given us these very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So we need to become people who are really trusting in God for our salvation every day. We need to become people who, you know, it's not just once off, it's not just I become a Christian and I kind of settle down, but actually we need to follow God, we need to persevere after God, and we need to let God's power start to work in our lives. Okay. Sometimes, though, it's hard to see when you're growing, isn't it? Sometimes, for yourself even, it's really difficult to see where you're growing. My parents got our house, well, I don't live with them anymore, but they got the house done up, and I called over one day, and they're in the middle of, you know, repapering the room, the sitting room, and they took off a layer of wallpaper, and there written on the wall was all our heights, when I was 11, and my sister was, you know, whatever, and it was like, you know, I was like about here, you know, kind of, and then we had the date written there, and I'm sure other people have this in their house, and we weren't just the one family in the world that did that. But, you know, I could see how much I'd grown. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could stand beside that on the wall and go, you know, I'm taller and wider. So it's good to kind of, it's good to aim to grow. Okay. Now let's look at what kind of growing we're talking about here in this passage. So we start with faith. Okay. Because you have to have faith. That's your starting block there. Okay. Without which is impossible to please God. Now, you should be reaching for, it says here, goodness. And another translation says moral excellence. So, a person should be reaching for moral excellence. It says coming away from the shadows of situation ethics to a life beyond reproach. So, we should start, if the things were kind of like, oh, I don't know, should I be doing that? We should move away from those kind of things. We should like stop trying to walk as close to the edge of the cliff without falling over. We should try and come back all together and really start asking questions about what we're thinking about, what we're reading, what we're praying about, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Now, a good way to do this is to increase your knowledge of the character and love of God. And that's spending time reading the Bible. The Bible is an amazing book. It's just mind-blowing, the stuff that's in here. Sometimes people find it hard to get into the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Bible to you, okay? Ask the Holy Spirit. Just sit down with your Bible and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Will you speak to me through this, okay? Try it. It works, okay? When you increase your knowledge of God, right, then it's not really hard to get a handle on self-control, okay? Because when we know God, how he feels about us, we know his plans for us, we know how precious we are in his sight, we know that we're valuable, that we're worthy. I'm looking out today here and I'm seeing a lot of potential, and you guys probably aren't seeing that, but God has given me magic eyes today to see all the massive potential in the room. And that's what God sees. He sees people that he loves, he's passionate about you. It's not about just obeying all the rules. He really wants to have a relationship with you. And when you know that, then your self-control becomes a little easier because you know that you don't want to hurt God. You don't want to hurt other people because they're his precious creation. Okay, so that's self-control. So when we have self-control, we can deal with difficult people and circumstances. Isn't that right? Okay. Now, this would be all rubbish if we didn't have perseverance. We need to keep going in our relationship with God. Okay? So we need to persevere. We need to say, God, I messed up yesterday. I'm going to try again today. I really want you to be in this with me, God. Come on. We're going to persevere. And perseverance can be in lots of areas. It can be in relationships. It can be in maybe reading your Bible. It can be in your quiet times. It can be just hanging in there sometimes. Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes it's just staying alive, you know? And when we have perseverance, this produces godliness, and the right attitude to God fills us with brotherly kindness. Because sometimes the brothers and the sisters is the hardest ones to love, aren't they? It's much easier to sometimes love people in the workplace or out in the street than it is to love people in church. But God can fill us with that love for each other, that glue that binds us all together. Okay, we can't manufacture this ourselves. And when we focus on God and we focus on other people, our love will increase. Okay? Our love will increase. And it's kind of like a snowball then, and then you just become a big love monster. It's great. Okay, we all go through seasons of slack where the old brotherly kindness goes amiss. But so great is the love that Jesus has for us that the passage suggests that those who don't have these qualities have not grasped the depths from which they've been saved. It says here, "But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." So guys, just maybe even today, spend time meditating on what God has done for you on the cross. We sang some great songs about it today, just about God, you know, what the lengths he's gone. You know, I sometimes don't even really appreciate that, and sometimes I don't really realize what a big deal it was for God to come down and become man and be crucified. And I don't know if I said this before, but in the Jewish tradition, if you were like crucified, you were cursed, you were cut off from God, it was disgraceful. It was like, it says in Deuteronomy, "Cursed is the man who hangs on a tree." So it was like the scorn and the shame that would have been thrown upon him would have been unbelievable. Just be like, you know, disgusting criminal kind of thing. And that he did that for you. And if we could just, if we could understand then the pain that Jesus went through. I mean, I think The Passion is a very good film. I wouldn't watch it very often, but I do have it. And sometimes it is kind of, it does kind of bring it back, just the pain that Jesus went through to save us. And he's very proactive. He's not a passive God at all. And when we know this, we pursue God because he's pursued us first. It says in 1 John, it says, "We love because he first loved us." Okay, so the title is Make Your Election and Calling Sure. And that's kind of funny because you're kind of thinking, so I have to do loads of stuff to make sure that I'm saved. No, okay, that's not it. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail." And a good analogy I read of this, I mean, we had the wedding yesterday, is the difference between a husband who does something for his wife so she will love him, and he's afraid that he won't love her, or she won't love him, and the difference between that and a husband that does something for his wife because he loves her. The difference between doing something for someone because you have a love relationship with them, or the difference between doing something because you want something. And I think it's become quite clear to me that part of being a Christian is persevering, part of being a Christian is growing in the Lord, part of being a Christian is moving from where you were. I don't want to be in the same place, you know, this time as I am today. I want to be in a different place. I want to be in a deeper place with God this time next month. Smith Wigglesworth used to say it was a sin to stay in the same place 2 days in a row, so that makes me a brutal sinner. But you know, we need to have that kind of relationship that we keep going forward with God. We're not satisfied with what we have. We're thirsty for more. We want to read more. We want to spend more time with God, and we're not satisfied until that happens. And so, how to finish? Okay, I got this in an email from Burundi. There's a guy out there called Simon Gilbo, and he's a missionary out there at the moment, and he just sends these amazing emails about horrible things happening and then God breaking through, and it's just amazing. It's quite balanced. You've got people getting murdered and then you've got 1,200 people becoming Christians. So this is what he's written off the end of his email, okay? So this is about God inviting us to be part of his adventure. So he invites all of us to be part of this incredible adventure. I read the other day, "The eyes of the Lord are still searching out those willing to live their lives above the gunwales of mediocrity and beyond the realms of inevitability. In our cynical age, God is looking for those naive enough to believe that the world can still be changed, those simple fools whose wisdom is to live and die for Christ alone." Well, call us naive or simple fools, but here's the change in the world, starting wherever he has stationed each one of us. Go today not in peace, but in the restlessness that leads to action, whatever God would lead you to. And I'm just gonna pray that actually over you guys, because I think I don't really want to come here and do a nice sermon that you go, that's nice, and you go home and that's nice, and or maybe it wasn't that nice, but I don't want to do that. When I preach something, I want it actually to go in there. Do you know what I mean? I want to actually do something. Do you know what I mean? I want to see a kind of a fruit in that. Do you know what I mean? So, because it takes a long time to prepare a talk like this, so you may as well get something out of it. You know what I mean? So I do want to see you guys moving on. I know some of you. I don't know some of you. And I'd love to see you moving on. I'd love to see you encouraging me to move on, you know. I'd love to see, you know, you guys coming in with more stories, you know. I want more stories about I was in the supermarket and this happened, or, you know, my neighbor's car broke down and I got a chance to do this. And I'd love to hear more of those kind of stories. Would you like to hear more of those stories, you know? And I think the great thing about being a Christian is it's not limited to the heroes in the kind of leotards. It's for everybody, you know. I don't mind if you're a housewife in Meath, or if you're unemployed, or if you're working in an office, you know, in the IFSC, or wherever you are. God can use you where you are. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Okay. So I'm going to pray, right, that God leaves you with a slight restlessness today, that you want more of him, okay? And you want to do this not because you want to feel more secure in your faith, but actually, and that will happen, but because you love God and you love your brothers. So let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do with us. We're a bunch of mad people. And we're stretched out so far and wide over the city. And we all live in different places, Lord. But I just pray you would use us mightily, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would grab hold of us, Lord, in a way you haven't done before. And I pray you would just show us exactly what you think of us, Lord, so we're not going around with a false picture of who we are, Lord, but we know that you've called us, that you love us, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that love would just well up so great inside us, Lord, that we would just be bursting, Lord, to share that with family, to share that with friends, Lord. And I pray just for an increase in each of these things that we read about today, and the increase in the goodness and the knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. I just pray for a massive increase in that in all our hearts, Lord. And I pray you would raise our game, Lord Jesus. And we wouldn't just think, oh, that's up to somebody else. Or I can't do that, I don't have a job. Or I can't do that, I don't have a car. But I pray, Lord, you would just put that in us tonight, or today, Lord. Just that desire to serve you. And so, Lord, so when we come home to you, Lord, we would have that great welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and show us your divine power and your promises, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus.